This is The Pulse, stories about the people and places at the heart of health and science. I'm Mike and Scott. This story is from our episode, The Inner Workings of Hospitals. Avir Mitra is an emergency room physician in New York City, and we asked him, what's the strangest thing that you encounter in your work? He has this story.
It's hard to come up with just one wild thing that we see in the ER, but I asked around, and there was something a lot of us agreed on.
Maggots.
Oh, maggots.
Maggots.
Maggots. These white, squirmy, wormy things are actually the larval form of the Diptera species. In other words, they're baby flies. It turns out they really thrive in chronic, poorly healing wounds. It's a perfect place for them to grow. And all it takes is one fly to land on that wound for a few seconds, and it can lay hundreds of eggs.
So the first time I saw maggots was my first year as an intern.
That's my friend Kelly Outlaw. She's an ER physician in Maryland. She was treating a man who had wounds on his legs. His bandages hadn't been changed in weeks.
As I'm unwrapping, I just see movement on his legs. And I realize it's maggots. There was thousands of them just wiggling back and forth. And I screamed and I dropped my scissors, and my supervising attending comes running in the room and she's like, oh, it's just maggots. And then she starts laughing at me. Everybody's laughing at me, the nurses, the techs.
Kelly diligently cleaned out every last maggot from the wound. And this becomes a topic of ER water cooler discussions. What's the best way to get rid of maggots? Physician assistant Kevin Nelson likes to irrigate the wound.
If you take like a Ziploc bag and then clip off the tip of it, then you can push water through that. Also using suctions to pull them out of the area.
Naeem Balut works for Doctors Without Borders.
Okay, the best mixture is to use 2 vials of sodium bicarb, 500 cc of normal saline, 500 cc of hydrogen peroxide, 250 cc of betadine.
And I asked plastic surgeon Amit Mitra. Well, he's my dad, full disclosure, but he likes ethyl chloride spray.
And I spray it over the wound where the maggots are, and maggots actually fall off.
As for me, well, I think maybe we should just leave them there. Matter of fact, I might even prescribe them. Okay, let me explain. Diana Dupuy had foot surgery for a bunion and an unhealed fracture. The surgery went well, but
when they took the cast off and I looked at my foot, you'll see those black necrotic wounds. And when I saw that, I was like, oh my goodness, you know, I knew that wasn't good.
Wounds like Diana's are called poorly healing wounds. They're common in diabetics, but they can happen to anyone. And for whatever reason, there's not enough blood flow to the wounded area. As a result, instead of forming a scab and healing, tissue in the wound starts to die. This is called necrosis.
So weeks had gone by and the wound looks worse and worse, right? The necrotic wound just started oozing. It just looked infected. It looked nasty.
Necrotic tissue is the perfect place for bacteria to grow, because without blood flow there, all your natural defenses can't get to it. It's a no man's land. Over time, the bacteria spread and the necrosis expands. Eventually, the bacteria use the dead tissue as a launching pad to infect the rest of you, making you septic and eventually killing you. The standard treatment for this is to grab a scalpel and cut away as much of the dead tissue as possible. That's called debridement. Then you need to take antibiotics to keep the bacteria at bay. And finally, you have to dress the wound and keep it as clean as possible. I can tell you, it's crude, it ain't pretty, but it's what you gotta do. But for Diana, this wasn't working. In fact, it kept getting worse.
And it was at that point I realized I'm in danger of getting a bone infection, which could cause them to amputate my foot.
In her desperation, she remembered a lecture she had heard while earning her degree in clinical laboratory science. It was about maggots, medical maggots.
In the back of my head, out popped the medical maggot therapy, and I started looking into it.
Her search brought her to entomologist and physician Ron Sherman.
I was particularly interested in how insects relate to diseases, usually by causing diseases.
But what if insects could prevent disease? Mentions of maggots and wounds date back thousands of years, and a surgeon in Napoleon's army noted that the war wounds that had maggots seemed to fare better than those that didn't. Doctors during the Civil War made similar observations, but no one had really studied this.
I proposed doing a research project in maggot therapy.
Ron studied poorly healing pressure ulcers and showed that using maggots, 80% of the wounds were free of dead tissue, compared to just 48% using traditional therapy. In addition, those wounds were healing at a faster rate. Because of Ron's research, the FDA actually approved the use of maggots as a medical device in 2004. It was the first time a living creature had been granted FDA approval. Ron started a company called Monarch Labs to sell medical-grade sterile maggots. Fast forward 10 years, and now Diana has a fresh shipment of maggots that her doctor is skeptically getting ready to apply to her foot.
I didn't know how I was going to respond to them. I didn't know if it was going to make me vomit. I didn't know if it was going to make me pass out and dizzy.
The doctor applied a gauze pad full of maggots to the wound and covered it with a breathable dressing.
Maggots that stayed in my wound, they were, you know, they're hungry, right? They immediately start doing their work. It seemed like if when I calmed down, the maggots calmed down because I was panicked. I was like, oh my God, look at all these maggots.
To her surprise, she wasn't grossed out.
Do not be icked out by these creatures. They're here to help me.
The maggots feasted in the wound for about 2 days.
What you do feel is them getting bigger and they wiggle. You can feel them wiggling around.
So every few days, the dressing would be changed, the bigger maggots removed, and a new batch put in. She did a few sessions like this.
After the first dose, the slough looked like it was almost 75% gone. And that was in just 48 hours.
And now her foot?
Perfect. I can wear stiletto high heel shoes. I ride a motorcycle. It's perfect.
Diana had experienced a true symbiotic relationship with the maggots. Well, at least until...
I felt bad how I had to kill them when I released them. They're doing this great treatment to me, and the reward is death, right? I just felt so bad about that.
Okay, so how the heck are these maggots doing a better job with Diana's foot than we are as doctors? Leah Davidoff is a doctor of pharmacy, and she studied this.
You put those immature, basically baby flies, into the wound. And basically, just like any baby, they need to feed. And their food is dead tissue.
So point number one is the baby maggots feed on dead, rotting flesh. The same dead flesh that's causing so much trouble in our chronic necrotic wound. To accomplish this, they crawl around the wound looking for the most rotten parts. They have little rough spines on their skin, so as they crawl, they rake the tissue. This loosens the dirt, so to speak, and separates the dead tissue from the living tissue.
They kind of get into every nook and crevice of the wound.
It's more gentle than the scalpel, and it's more precise. Then they need to eat the tissue, but...
You know how the babies drink milk? They can't have a steak? This is kind of along the same lines.
Baby flies need their food broken down too, so they secrete their digestive enzymes onto the wound. These enzymes liquefy the tissue and turn it into a slough.
And then they just basically snort it up. And that's what they do.
The crazy thing is that these enzymes only affect the dead tissue. The living tissue doesn't dissolve. And there's more.
In the process of doing it, they're also eating up all the bacteria.
See, maggots don't want to die from bacteria either. So their stomachs have evolved to be able to kill bacteria, even some of the most resistant ones out there. In addition, they release unique chemicals onto the wound that cause bacteria to die. So the maggot is debriding better than a surgeon, killing germs better than any antibiotic, and as if that wasn't enough, they somehow seem to accelerate tissue and vascular regrowth. And yet, maggot therapy is still rarely used. According to Ron,
less than 5% of patients who are destined for an amputation are given a trial of maggot therapy, even though published studies show that 50 to 70% of those amputations could probably be prevented.
There are some caveats. The maggots ought to be sterile, and not all species work the same. Most practitioners, including Ron, agree that you should try the standard way first. There can be some pain, and Leah says,
patients do have anxiety, which makes sense because people find it gross. I mean, it's yucky. You put something living on your body, and it grosses people out.
It's yucky, it's gross, but sometimes it might be just what the doctor ordered.